Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, a show where we interview the most influential people in real estate to teach you how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more customers. What's up, everybody? Grant Weiss here. Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast. Excited to be having an epic conversation today with Mr. Calvin Curry, the founder of Smart Agents. It's a company that really helps agents market themselves in a variance of ways. And I'm excited to have a conversation with Calvin today and just get into the weeds on how agents can be successful today from a marketing standpoint. So Calvin, thanks for jumping on, man.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Grant.
Let's jump right into this, man. Who's Calvin Curry? What's the story? How'd you get to where you are today?
Yeah, good question. So I actually got in the business back in 2006. I was actually a landscaper and started a landscaping company at 16, had several businesses in my early teen years, like 13 years old, growing plants for a nursery business. And after I'd been running the landscaping business for several years, I actually got a big health issue that came up that stopped me from working in the industry. And I had to have two major surgeries in 1 year. And my doctor told me, you can't lift more than 5 pounds for a year. So as a result, I needed to change careers. So I sold out or exited the business, turned my part of the business over to my business partner, got out, and my dad was in real estate as well as two of my brothers and a sister. So had a lot of traction there. They knew what they were doing. My dad's like, listen, I'll help you get into real estate. So that was in the fall of 2006, right as I got into the industry in Florida, in Northern Florida market, small little rural community, the market started slowly unraveling. A lot of deals were falling apart, and the recession was starting to go into swing in Florida, at least in our area it was. So it was a really bad timing overall. Couldn't have come at a worse time. So for me, I wanted to provide value to my dad's team when I was sick and, laid up in the house recovering from these major surgeries. So I actually focused direct response marketing. You know, for years when we ran the landscaping business, we did billboards, magazine ads, radio ads, and we never tracked return on investment. So we were spending, anywhere from 5 to 10% of our revenue on advertising, thinking that was how we grew a business. And we never knew if it brought us sales because we didn't know what we didn't know. We were just completely naive, trying to copy Home Depot for our garden center. What a stupid mistake. But at the time it seemed smart because when you look around, you look at what everyone else is doing and you're doing it from an uneducated perspective, it's really easy to burn holes in your pocket, wasting money. So that was a huge mistake. So when I got into real estate, I actually was lucky enough to pick up a book from Dan Kennedy on direct response marketing. And I started writing direct response sales letters and they got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I would send them to expired listings and FSBOs and vacant properties because I was in a rural community. I didn't have enough leads. I started with some of the old school stuff, one of the biggest names, coaching names in the industry using his sales scripts, but I burnt my leads out. And within 30 minutes, he was saying, hey, lock your door and hide yourself in your closet for 4 hours a day and cold call, but I ran out of leads in 30 minutes, 10 to 30 minutes. And at first I had enough leads and, I went through, my dad had been paying for a house value service. I don't remember if it was Market Leader or a company like that. And I burnt through 100 leads within like 2 weeks, calling them all multiple times until I got them all on the phone. Got me my first few deals, which was good. And then I started doing vacants, expires, any person I could find, foreclosures, and chasing them down because I'm in a small rural community and I just ran out of listings. So for me, it's like, if I'm going to grow my business, I can't burn these leads out. I can't call them with an aggressive sales script that would work if I had unlimited leads and burn through them. So I cut my teeth with direct response marketing. By the time I was done, the sales letter was 26 pages. And then over the years, we put a cover on it and said, listen, how do we get people to read this? They're not reading it, but when they read it, you'd walk in the door, you'd put down a listing contract and you'd get the listing. So it was easy if they read it, but they weren't reading it. The longer it got, less people read it, but it was good information that they needed if they just had their home expire, they're trying to sell a loan. And it was all about building a relationship, building up trust, rapport, the law of reciprocity. When you give, they want to give you something in return. And so we put a cover on it, turned it into a book, did a bunch of other crazy stuff, through the recession to survive and thrive. and kind of stumbled into teaching agents how to do what we were doing, because so many pursued us and said, hey, how are you selling homes when all your listings weren't selling? All of a sudden you started selling homes like crazy in the middle of the recession, et cetera. And that kind of started Smart Agents, and that was, you know, probably 10 years ago or thereabouts. And today we've, you know, through that helped over 32,000 agents have gone through one training or another of ours and to where we're at today. So that's kind of the pathway from how I got into it, how I struggled and scratched my own itch, and how we eventually started providing stuff to help other agents in the business.
I love it. I love it. What are some things that agents shouldn't do in, a down economy or a recession, those types of things? Everybody always asks, like, okay, what did you do to get out of the recession? Like, what are some things that you should definitely not do if you're walking into a unique market like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't have probably the perfect answer for that, but I can tell you my experience. What happened as the market started to change in Florida, and Florida and California seemed to get hit harder and faster than most of the other markets. Some markets like Texas never got affected. But in our market, when it started hitting hard, what was happening is that, you know, and this isn't new to anyone, the prices were dropping so fast that even when you had normal price reductions, you couldn't catch up with the falling market. And so for us, we tried a bunch of stuff to get homes sold. But if the market turns and it starts going south, it's hard to get people to buy in quick enough to chase the market down and sell a home. That was what we were struggling. So almost overnight, not overnight, it shouldn't say overnight, but over time, we had less and less of our inventory selling per month. I don't remember exactly how many listings we had, but anywhere between like 30 and 50 at a time. And we were used to a few sales closing every single month, and all of a sudden it just gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and our cost, you know, as a team was heavy. But what happened is we had to do some radical changes. We tried a bunch of different ways to move homes. Like, one was lease to own. Hated that method. What ended up working was a hybrid auction. We called it sold in a week, but we more or less chopped the price of the home in half, did a giant open house, and said, we're going to accept the best offer by this date. Now, granted, we had the right to refuse any offer. So it wasn't an absolute auction. It wasn't an auction. It was kind of a hybrid. We were allowed to say we were doing an auction in Florida as an agent without having to have an additional license. But what worked for us is just getting really, we just had to be adaptive and change based on what was going on in the market. And we went from zero listing selling to having 1 to 2 sales in a 3-month time period, which was a disaster for us, to, you know, we started collecting marketing fees up front for advertising, and we just got really, really creative. I don't think that makes sense in today's environment, but you can still learn some of those grassroots or take some of those grassroots renegade ideas and adopt them to even a thriving market like today to drive leads. And you could use it as a lead generation method if you wanted. You know, there's people out there talking about mega open houses. It's still a thing. It still works. We kind of did a hybrid of that in an auction. But really, I think the number one thing is if the market changes and if stuff is not working, what used to work, if it doesn't work anymore, as the market changes, you just got to be ready to adopt and adopt fast to make sure you stay ahead of the curve. Because last thing you want to do is get yourself up against the wall and run yourself out of the business by going broke. Yes. So yeah, that's what I would say. I just think change and change fast. Like, we kind of got attached to different ideas thinking this is going to save our business. This is going to sell homes. Or, you know, listings were almost worthless in the recession because you couldn't sell them. Today, it's obviously the opposite problem. But then listings, list to last. We've all heard it 10 million different ways. But in a recession, when homes don't move, listings are expensive to get, expensive to market, and they don't sell. And so you just drain your cash. So for me, if I was to do the recession again, I would change quicker. I would just go down the line and keep trying different things until something took. Just can't sit on your hands and wait for things to happen. You got to make it happen. That'd be my biggest, that's what I would do differently if I was going into another recession.
Yeah. Which is counterproductive, or not counterproductive, but countercultural to what we're always taught, right? Which is pick one thing and focus on it for a long sustained period of time, and consistency will eventually win. Definitely the rules go out the window in those different types of situations. But how did you take a sales letter and turn it into, you know, a book? When I write a sales letter, it might be an email, or it might be 3 pages or something like that. What were you putting in this letter that was making it so elaborate? Was it a bunch of education, information? What was it?
It was a little bit of everything. So if anyone studied direct response marketing, the Gary Halber or the Eugene Schwartz or Dan Kennedy's of this world, or David Ogilvy even, if anyone's familiar that far back, direct response marketing is all about return on investment. It's about persuasion. It's about a big idea and a huge headline. And, you know, like the headline is one of the most important things of the sales letter. We wrote traditional, hardcore, aggressive sales letters. And we would do anything, like in a good sales letter, a lot of times you have a money back guarantee. You know, that's hard to wrap your head around, but it's very common in the coaching space and in the training space is, listen, if this product doesn't work for you, you can get your money back. It's also a risk reversal. So we really wrote a sales letter like you almost write to sell a product. Here's what it is. Here's the testimonials. Here's the expireds we've sold in the past. Here's how we help them. Here's the issues and the reasons why homes don't sell and what you can do about it. And even to an extent, you find a crack that, okay, so let me give you an example. If you come out and you're pursuing expired listings, for example, and you attack the other agent, you discredit yourself as well. It's not going to benefit an agent to come out and say, well, your home didn't sell because you used a dumb agent. That's not going to help the agent, in my opinion. It's going to make them look stupid. It's not the best, most, there's many reasons why it sucks. So instead of taking that approach, even if it was the agent's fault because they bought the listing, they overpriced it, they promised all these things they couldn't deliver, they discouraged them, and the sellers felt manipulated, lied to, maybe they don't, maybe they feel great. My point is, you got to find out where that crack is on an expired listing, put a wedge in it and pound it deep and try to win the business over by saying, hey, here's why it didn't sell, et cetera. So when we wrote sales letters, if we were writing them to expireds, it was a persuasive sales letter about what happened, how we can help you. Here's the proof in the testimonials. Here's other people I helped. You know, one of the listings that I got back in the day, I had sold a neighbor's home. It was in a flood zone. They were in a flood zone. They probably knew of the property. And I put together an elaborate package, put a long form sales letter. I even printed out a listing agreement, threw it in the package, and wrote a handwritten letter on top and said, listen, I sold your neighbor's home at this address. They had the same problem as you. I noticed your home has sat in the market for over a year. I can sell it. Here's a listing agreement. Let's go to work. I knew it was vacant. Long story short, I got the listing. I got it at an 8% commission, which was unheard of back then. Still a kind of unusual thing, and sold it in 2 weeks. And the funniest part is the agent that had it listed for over a year brought one of the offers. It was really funny. We got it priced right. We presented it right. We took new pictures and we sold it in 2 weeks. Now this was 2007, 2008, thereabouts. But long story short, it's a persuasive sales letter. That's how we started with the sales letter.
Right. And that's how, I mean, you know, there's so many lessons right there that you could unpack, because it's really how the game should be played today. It's being played a little bit differently, right? At least from our perspective, right? We're more into, social strategies and those different types of things. And you guys have a lot of spectacular strategies. You have the book strategy and you've got a few of those things, but either way, it's more about your ability to persuade somebody to take an action that you want to take. Like, I'm a huge direct response marketing fan. I love that more than most things on, you know, planet Earth as it pertains to marketing, right? Because it's anytime you can put a dollar in a machine and you get $10 back, like, that's the funnest game in the world to play, especially when you figure it out. Yeah. But you're right. You can't go at it with competition in mind, right? You can't sell yourself against somebody else. You have to sell, you know, the problem, and you have to sell the solution. And it's got to, you know, really kind of carry its own water for sure. So you began to write this letter and it turned into a book or a pamphlet or, you know, whatever it kind of grew into. Walk me through, you know, the idea to, like, hey, let's just slap a cover on this thing and, you know, call it a big. Like, what was it that kind of pulled you down the book path?
So it was totally accident. The sales letter was 26 pages and our results were sliding. We kept trying to tweak the letter. The problem was getting them to read it. It kind of surprised them when they got a 26 page letter and everyone else was sending 1 and 2 pages or postcards. So that stood out. But our thing is, we knew, because there was those listing appointments that I got, and the person literally one time said, I read this. I stayed up till 1 in the morning. I got your letter last night. I read it all. It all makes sense. I want to list with you. And I went over there, sat down at the kitchen table, put down a listing agreement, negotiated on my commission, and listed the home. It was that easy. And I'm like, crap, if I can make that happen every time, I had this fantasy back then, this was before the internet was as powerful as it is today, that I could probably list these homes without ever going on them. That was my crazy idea.
Right.
My goal was, if I can go from here to just listing homes through the mail, mail order listings, I mean, that'd be crazy. I'm sure somebody's done it, but that was kind of where I was going with that idea. So I ended up was talking to one of my brothers that I was working with in real estate, and he had the idea of, let's put a cover on it. And so we hired a graphics designer, we designed a cover, and we threw it on the book. And in order to make it look like a book, you know, if a book's not thick enough, it looks like you're saying like a pamphlet. So we had to beef it up. Our goal was 100 pages. So we beefed it up. We added more to it. We added some good informational articles, more testimonials and case studies of us selling homes. And that's how we got to 100 pages. And what happened is, at when we put a cover on it and it looked like a book, all of a sudden we had people calling us completely different than the sales letter. The sales letter, it worked when they read it. When they didn't read it, we got clumped into the same junk mail pile as everyone else. I'm guessing it ended up in the trash, and it was over. The game was over. But when we mailed a book, people didn't throw it away. They saved it on their coffee table. They remembered it. We got calls for months, if not years, after the book went out. And so we started testing it with some friends. And the thing that was funny is, all of a sudden, we were the only agents mailing books. And so when you're an author, your perception, even if it's a self-published author, you don't even have to have the book on Amazon. You just need it to look like a book. And so we were using a third-party printing service that would just print us a box of books and ship them to us. It was pretty janky. It was horrible. It was grammatically incorrect all over the place, but we just got it done. We tested the concept and we proved it, but I'm getting off track. The funny part was, is it kept happening over and over again where they'd say, I got your book. You have a book. You're the only agent who had a book. I want to list with you. And they didn't even read it half the time. A lot of times they're like, listen, if you have a book, you must know what you're talking about. Let's do business. Come list my home. It blew my mind.
After, you know, a lot of the success started to take place with the book, did you guys start to do any due diligence and research into like, okay, why is this working so well? Why does a book work so well? Is it because it creates authority status? Is it because, like, did you guys begin to do any of that type of research to figure out why it was working so well?
For sure. There's a lot of psychology and human behavior. If you're familiar with like Robert Cialdini, is it Dan O'Reilly? A lot of these people who talk about, like Robert Cialdini wrote Influence and Predictably Irrational is Dan. A lot of these human behavior books talk about that, how to build authority, how to position yourself as an authority in your marketplace. There's lots of ways to do it, but a book is one of many ways. You can obviously build up a social media presence. That's one way to do it these days. You can build up a YouTube presence. There's many ways to do it, but a book is one of the fastest ways to get it done. With that, like building up a million subscribers on YouTube, or even 100,000, or you know, 10,000 people on Instagram, that's not easy unless you're cheating, you know, like buying followers. And everyone can tell nowadays, because consumers have become savvy, who bought the followers and who's doing stuff a little janky, right? So you look at all the different ways, from speaking on stage to getting on the radio or on TV, that can be gamed, or not gamed, but PR. There's PR, we all know about it. But a book is just like, boom. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's hard to write. It's not like any agent who's a good agent can sit, or any expert who's been in their field for years can sit down and write a book. The thing is, we're all busy. We don't have time. We can also go pay a ghostwriter, but you still have 50 hours and maybe 30,000 to 40,000 bucks. And it's not like those are bad strategies. It's just expensive and the barrier to entry is painful. Mm-hmm. So we just wrote template-based stuff and allow agents to customize it. And that's what, yeah, so long story short, I'm getting off track. Absolutely did research. And as a marketer, you've seen people who've written good books and how they've done it and how it's leveraged their success. I saw you interviewed Chris Smith, for an example, and I listened to that one, and you know, he was talking about it, but he's not the only one. There are so many in so many other industries outside of real estate, like Dan Kennedy, who I learned about from Direct Response. I learned about him from a book. Mm-hmm. And then over I spent tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on his events and coaching and his newsletter. I've been a subscriber of his newsletter for almost 10 years, you know, at, I don't know, anywhere from 50 to 70 bucks a month. I don't know exactly what I'm paying. I get it every month and he indoctrinates me. It's just good old fashioned marketing, old school marketing. It works.
How have you guys began to kind of infuse, you know, everything that's happened with social media over the last several years into the book strategy, or vice versa? Have you infused the book strategy into social media?
Yeah, good question. So one of the easiest ways is just to go on social media and talk about it. So we've had some of the agents that we work with, one right in our market, Jacksonville, and she took a picture with her book, you know, just one of these like little lifestyle, she's way cuter smile than me, you know, make herself look good. And she posted on social media and she's like, "Hey guys, I got a book. Anyone want one?" Hey, I'm writing a book, or I'm working on a book, whatever. And you can leverage a good piece, you know, a book like that can be leveraged across email, referrals. You can give it to your past clients. "Hey guys, you know anyone who would like a book about how to sell homes fast for top dollar? You know, if you know anyone who's looking to sell, no problem. Hey, give them a book for me." Social media, same thing. We've seen that can go viral. If you already have a relationship and you have your sphere of influence and your friends and your family and your past coworkers or whatever on social media, it's really easy to get on there and leverage it. So, and the other thing is, once you get a lead, even if you generate leads or you buy leads on Zillow, what we're finding is with, you know, 1.38 million, you know, over 1.3 or 4, wherever it's at now, million agents, and a lot of those have come on the market in the last few years since the bottom of the market, there's more competition than ever. I was talking to an agent in Denver who goes after FSBOs, and he competes with 20,000 agents in his market. So the thing is, he uses the book and he gives it away when he walks to the front door and says, "Hey, I just have a gift for you. Here it is." Boom. And when you walk in the door, you send it as a pre-listing package. Who else mails a book? So you can use it after you've generated a lead to follow up with your sphere. It's just so many ways, social media, et cetera. And you can use it just like you see in marketing. You know, gurus will do a book funnel and they'll sell it as a tripwire or give it away as a lead magnet. They'll bring someone into the funnel and they'll start building a relationship. Agents are no different. They can do the same thing. So
do you guys have like a, you know, like a power formula today that you'd be willing to share where you take an agent, you get the book in place, you do those types of things, and then you pair it with a very strategic direct response social strategy? I mean, do you guys have a formula like that you teach today?
Yeah, we don't teach the social media side as much. We used to more in the past, but today it's most of our stuff is offline direct response marketing style to proven sources of leads like FSBOs and expireds. And those are a little bit harder to target to your sphere. You know, those are a very different type of lead source than your sphere of influence. You're not going to target them with Facebook ads, for an example, as easy. You could, it's just, you know, the retargeting audiences and all that would be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You can still do it, but it's a lot easier to show up offline. So yeah. Our thing is when we're going after a lead source, we normally focus after traditional FSBO expired. We provide the agents that we work with a website and a blog and a squeeze page for somebody to request their free book, et cetera. And if they want to go out and use it on social media, they can. We just haven't gone out and tested, proven it, and then trained them how to do it. So yeah. We don't have that today.
Tell me a story, man. Tell me a story about somebody that you know, is coming to your world, you know, using smart agents, launched a book, and just, you know, give me a story of somebody that's used the strategy you're talking about to a pretty insane degree.
Yeah. So there's a lot. I mean, I'll just use a pretty average one because I hate the people who pull these huge stories out of their, anyways, that's a different story. Long story short, there's an agent in our area that I brought into the office the other day and talked to her, Yasha in Jacksonville. And she's not even using the books as well as she could, but one, in my opinion. So what she does when she walks in the door is she gives away the books when she walks the door and introduces herself on every listing appointment. And that's helped her get a lot of listings that way. So that's like one really plain Jane, simple way that any agent could get results by either having a book or even a testimonial pamphlet or a really good flyer or just something different than everyone else. It doesn't even have to be a book, just something that separates you from all the other agents in the marketplace. There's also, this is a funny story. There's an agent we work with in LA and he drives Uber on the side. So this one was really renegade and out there, and he would give his book away and put it in the back. You know, like you jump in an Uber, there's the back pocket and they slip in the little Apple chargers or give you water. Well, he put his book back there and he said that everyone is interested in talking about the real estate market because it's in the news a lot based around the economy, the interest rates. There's a lot of noise on the subject and there's a lot of disruption and tension to a degree with consumers get more savvy in the stuff that Zillow and all Redfin and all these companies are doing. So there's just a lot of noise. It's a really good talking point. So he said when people get into his Uber, he'll start up a conversation about real estate. He'll tell them he's an agent. He'll offer a free book. He said people, he goes, yeah, I got a book back there. Just pull it out of the back pocket. And they'll pull it out and look at it. And they'll see his picture on the front cover. And they'll see him in the rear of the mirror. And I think he gave around, I think he said 24 books away and got over 4 listings from just that. And the thing is he said one person look at his book, look at his picture, look at him in the mirror and goes, it really is you. And he ended up listing a home with him. And I was just like, how does somebody go from Uber driver? Like if I'm in an Uber and they're saying they're an agent, I'm probably going to laugh. Not to be mean. I'm not going to be like, but I'm just like, why the hell are you driving Uber? You're an agent and you're successful. Why? Like the math doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of outrageous. I haven't heard something as crazy as that. It's wild, but it proves the power of positioning. It proves the power of having something that makes you stand out. I think that's one thing that I think a lot of agents miss. When you look at their campaigns, their call scripts, it's really hard to get better and better and better at your sales scripts and more NLP and persuasion. It's just challenging for your average person just to constantly be up leveling when you're in Denver and you got 20,000 other agents doing the same thing, hiring the same coaches, doing the same scripts. You know, I remember reading the script and I remember competing with other agents that read the same damn script. It was all about who presented it better. So when there's over 1 million agents, what are you doing differently to stand out? It can be your message. It can be your approach. It can be how many times you follow up and you're persistent as hell. There's many ways to stand out, but you know, something like a book or doing things differently than everyone else is going to help you break through because everyone already knows somebody who's an agent. Everyone. I mean, when the average person knows, I think 250 or so people, and you run the math on agents versus population that is worthy of buying a home. I ran the math a few weeks ago, and I believe it was around 1 or 2 agents. The average person in America knows at least 1 agent, most likely up to 3. And so you're already competing. If you're not up against a referral, you're competing with family, friends, and people that they already know. How are you going to earn the business if you're coming in on a FSBO or expired or vacant property or somebody going through divorce or facing some sort of hardship? How are you going to get that business if you're not coming off a referral? How are you going to stand out? How are you going to be different? That's a question I would ask myself as an agent is how in the world am I going to be perceived as any different than every other person walking through this front door?
Yeah, it's a great question to ask yourself. And it's one that you should be asking yourself every day. I mean, we live in a society now where being a real estate agent means or equals being a commodity. Like there's no difference from one agent to the other, to the next, at least perceptively, right? From the consumer standpoint, when you got 100 different yellow letters sitting in your mailbox, it's like, I'm going to blindfold you. You go pick one and that's who our realtor is going to be. And this is why, you know, historically 86% of the people that, you know, speak to the first agent they speak to, you know, that's the one that wins the business, right? There's not a lot out there. Like everybody, you're right. Everybody has access to the same loan officers, the same title reps, the same dot loop services, the same marketing, the same social strategies, same social channels. Like you are the unique difference. And if you can go out there and set yourself up as an authority figure on real estate, you know, it's definitely a surefire way to stand out. Authority was a word, the root word author, right? It's where it stems from is, you know, people that are out there producing that type of content. And, you know, I do believe a lot in having a book strategy. I've seen it work spectacularly on so many different angles, so many different ways. I've seen it work, you know, really phenomenally in real estate, especially when you infuse social media with having a book strategy. I know a lot of people, and you do too, that have made not made millions of dollars from the book per se, right? Because you hear a guy like Grant Cardone, like this book cost me money. I didn't make any money from it. But it's what happens after the book gets delivered, right? You're going to pay $3, $4, $5, $6 a lead anyway. Why not throw a book in there, bring your CPL down to $1 to $2, figure the dollar, you know, whatever 99 book cost into it. And all of a sudden you're spending, you know, the same amount of money, but you have premium status in the consumer's mind because, you know, you're an author. And so definitely a fantastic strategy, man. What is the best way for somebody to, you know, reach out and connect with you, learn more about you guys?
Yeah, just smartagents.com. That's our website. Go there, check it out. There's links to blogs and, you know, some training stuff, a lot of stuff around that. The book concept, if somebody wants a book, there's links from there to go learn more about it, et cetera. So smartagents.com, best place to learn more.
Awesome. And we'll make sure that we link that up in the show notes for you guys. Calvin, man, thank you so much for jumping on the show with me. I really appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy, but thanks for jumping on and adding some value to our listeners here today.
Welcome.
Guys, thank you for tuning in to the Marketing Genius Podcast. Continue to check us out on our website. Rate us on iTunes and Google Play. We will see you on the next episode. Thanks.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Marketing Genius Podcast. Please make sure you remember to rate us on iTunes and Google Play so we can continue to bring you interviews of some of the most influential people in real estate to help you grow your business.